'cause all I need is...
Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys. Hey guys, welcome to the Be Love Podcast. Hey, today's episode is just a little different. At the time of editing this episode, from my guest, Becky Konselman, my dear friend, we interviewed her about a month ago. And since then, some things have happened. Last week, she was in Florida with her daughter and she had a brain aneurysm and a brain bleed. Thankfully, she got to the hospital on time and they saved her life. But we have had a rally of support for her from the CrossFit community, from our neighborhood, from honestly people all over the world who are praying for her as she recovers from this. And I wanted to share this interview we did a month ago because I want you to know who she is. So many of you are thinking about her and praying for her, and I want you to hear her whole story. I'm her really good friend who I see every single day. And the funny thing is that I didn't even know some of these amazing things that she had going on in her life. And so I just wanted to be able to share this for you to just love her even more after you hear this. She has such a walk of faith, and I know it hasn't changed a bit, even though her circumstances have. And if you have any desire to just show your appreciation or encouragement to the Konselman family, I really encourage you to donate to their organization, FaithRx, and you can go to their website. It'll be on our show notes, but it's www.faithrxd.org. I'm really excited to share this interview with you, and I just know you're going to just love my incredible friend. We're praying for you, Beck. You guys, I am so excited for my podcast guest today. Here on the Be Love Podcast, we have Becky Konselman. Becky is a former pro athlete. And I mean, I hate to even say former because once you're a pro athlete, you're just a beast. She raced professionally on the road for 3 years. That would be cycling. She then shifted her focus to track cycling, where she competed for the USA National Cycling Team and represented the U.S. at 2 world championships, USA baby, and was a 3-time national champion. She retired from cycling to have some beautiful babies. And then she's like, "Hey, I think I miss competing. So I'm going to try this thing called CrossFit." And then she's like, "Oh, I think I might go to the CrossFit games 5 times. I mean, what in the world? Becky is an intense competitor. It just seems about everything she touches, she excels at, but not because of luck, but because of her hard work and drive. And I can say this because I work out with her weekly and she has become one of my dearest friends. She has since channeled her energy in founding and running a worldwide nonprofit called FaithRx, where she merges her passion for fitness with faith. Becky, like I said, has become one of my closest friends here in Colorado, and although she is wolf eyes, which we'll talk about on the competition floor, the thing that makes her stand out to me is her great love for people and her desire to see them succeed. I cannot wait for her to share her passion for others and inspire us to love others well. Hello, friend.
What's happening?
We're actually together. Like, usually we do our podcast on Skype, but since she lives by me, we're actually in my daughter's pink bedroom studio doing this together.
Yes.
So fun. Okay, so I like to tell people who are listening, like, maybe how I've met a guest or how we kind of are kindred hearts. And I met Becky. We moved to Colorado 1.5 years ago, and I kept hearing this name. Like, I knew of Becky because she's a big deal. And people kept saying, "Becky Konselman lives in your neighborhood." I'm like, "The Becky Konselman? Like the CrossFit star?" Seriously. Stop. And they're like, "Yeah, but you guys would be best friends. Like, you have to get to know her. She's kindred hearts with you." So for like months, I'm wondering when Becky and I are going to meet. We literally live like 1/2 mile from each other. And we happened to meet where? At the gym?
Yeah, we were at the CrossFit gym. And you're like, "You're Becky." And I'm like, "You're Christy."
And we met and we worked out and crushed it together, which was super fun. And then our mutual friend Gwen said, you're going to be our friend, Becky. We, like, bullied her into a Voxer friendship. If you don't know what Voxer is, you should.
Don't do it.
It's like horrible. This. It's so awesome. It's like this
such
walk.
A distraction.
It's this walkie-talkie system. So you don't have to text, because I hate texting. So our name is Lock and Load. Lock and Load, baby. And she loves Voxer. Don't let her tell you any different. Uh-huh. You love it. Okay, Becky, tell us, for those who don't know you.
Let's take a poll. I think we should take a poll on your.
How are we gonna know?
On your Instagram.
Raise your hand.
Who likes Voxer and who doesn't?
Oh, who likes Voxer?
When this comes up.
Okay, we're gonna take a poll. I think they're gonna love Voxer.
Okay.
I feel like I should be like, have actual stock in a Voxer of how many people I have.
No Enneagram matches to who likes Voxer. I think Enneagram 8s, which you are, might only like Voxer.
No.
Threes, no.
No, it's productive. It gets you, it's done. We're done. I'm time to text.
Okay, sorry, I'm derailing this.
She's derailing.
Podcast.
Okay, so here we go. Becky, give us the lowdown for those who don't know you. Becky Kaltzman, who are you? And then tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Awesome. So I'm a wife to Mr. Jim Kaltzman.
Jimmy.
Navy officer, a mom of two amazing kids, Kylie and Tyler. And I happen to have a long history of athletics in my life. So you mentioned I was a pro cyclist that segued into being a games competitor for 5 years, which had no intention to compete whatsoever. And that kind of just happened.
Because that
and,
just happens.
It did just happen. And then, you know, my two greatest passions in life have been my faith and sports and that challenge of putting God where God should be and not making an idol out of sports or making that our identity. And when I saw this amazing community of CrossFit, I had such a burden for this community to know the love of Christ and to put this faith in action through service. Then that's how FaithRx was formed 5.5 years ago.
Tell me a little bit when you were kind of in, because, I mean, half your life was, like, competing. Tell me a little bit about that. What was that like for you? You know, obviously faith is a huge part for you. The whole identity piece, because I think a lot of us struggle with, like, what we do, it becomes our identity. So when that was kind of done for you, like, take us through that. Was that an identity for you? Like, was it a struggle for you when you were kind of done competing per se?
No, it's so interesting. When I was done with cycling, it was like literally one of those moments where God just changed my heart. And I was no joke in a race. It was called the Tour. No, it wasn't Tour de Tuna. It was in Somerville. It was a Criterium. And I'm in the final sprint, you know, centimeters from the wheel in front of me, jockeying for position. And it was like this slow-mo reel of looking around going, what am I doing? This is so crazy. And I'd never been. I mean, what I did was so dangerous. I crashed so much.
Yeah, explain what, for those who don't know what a Criterium is, like tell people what that is.
Yeah,
like,
it's usually like a circuit race around with, you know, certain zigzag turns, let's just say around Littleton, Colorado. And it's typically an hour race. So it's built for that middle distance person that might have really strong explosive power in a burst of 30 seconds. It usually ends in a sprint. But you're riding a pack with 50 to 100 women wow. in this pack, and you're elbow to elbow with each other. And I was so, you know, being an Enneagram 3, just so driven, so focused on the goal. I didn't stop really to think about the danger of it, even though, you know, I took out the entire Argentinian sprint team once in World Cup warm-up, literally plowed these 200 guys down.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
Because there were so many people on the track. Yeah, it was insane. So
this is why I could never do this, because I would wreck everyone
I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. But when I know something's right, you know, I go for it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just wired within me. And it was right. Like, that was the dream that I had from a young child, was to be in the Olympics. I didn't care if you put me on a bobsled, you know, head first down a track. I'm like, I just want to hear that opening ceremony and be in my sweatsuit.
Yes, your Ralph Lauren sweatsuit. Yes.
Totally.
USA.
And then with, you know, with CrossFit, 2015, I mean, I'd been in it 5 years. I competed individually for 2 years as a female individual. And I was 39 when I started CrossFit. Which is old to be starting a sport where you're competing against 20-year-olds. And And I went from an individual female to competing in masters to then 2 years on the team. And FaithRx was growing. It needed more attention. And so that I say, when you've lost the killer instinct, you know you're done. And in my case, so giving up, that was not hard at all.
Okay.
You know, and but other disappointments, like not making the Olympic team, was much harder than changing from a professional athlete to not being a professional athlete.
That was a dream that you had, like you just said, to when you were a little girl. Run us through that. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I grew up, Mary Lou Retton was my hero.
Yes,
I loved gymnastics. Yes. I think I competed for like 3 months in gymnastics and I feel like Carter May, your daughter. I was like, Mom, my toes hurt. My toes hurt. She's like, oh, honey, okay, you don't have to do it anymore. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me to keep doing gymnastics?
Your mom. Yeah.
Did not push me whatsoever. That's not challenge me on the thought, right? And so gymnastics was short-lived for me. But I watched Mary Lou Retton, and I was 28 years old. I was working as a youth director in Hawaii. Jim was starting his Navy career. I was doing triathlons. I was really good on the bike. And, you know, as soon as it got to the run, I was like a waddling duck.
The
where
worst.
People, yeah, we don't like runs in CrossFit. We waddle together.
Yep, exactly.
So someone said, have you ever thought about, you know, cycling? And I won't go into long detail on this, but I actually had moved for my first job to Colorado. I was working for the Special Olympics as their event planner out of college in Colorado, because I thought, well, that's near the Olympic Training Center. Maybe I'll go down. You probably don't even know this.
No. So literally in your brain, that was always in your head.
So when I was coming out of college, I was like, Lord, where do you want me? I want to serve you, but I have this dream of the Olympics. And maybe the gal who had been a big influence in my life lived in Boulder. Her parents said I could live with them for 3 weeks. So I moved out here with $1,200, the card daddy gave me for getting good grades.
Yes.
Yes. We love those freebies and moved out here and started networking. But my hope was that in my time when I didn't have to make money, I might get, quote, noticed by a coach at the Olympic Training Center. And she would see that I would have potential and somehow I would end up on the national
team.
No
way.
So I went down to the Springs. And there they are, warming up on the track. And I had done some cycling races in college, so I had some experience doing that. And I said, hey, are there like open tryouts?
No
way.
And
she looked at me like I had three eyes.
You ask an Olympic coach if there were open tryouts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm dying inside.
And obviously, there wasn't a huge open door there. I'm like, wow, is that really the end of this? Is that how this ends? And so, I mean, reality took over. I was running out of my $1,200 bank account money, and I had to get a job. And so I thought, well, maybe, I don't know. That wasn't how I expected. But, you know, I ended up at the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And I was helping kids pursue their dreams.
Absolutely.
And then fast forward 8 years later, I'm married now. I'm in Hawaii. I'm doing triathlons. I'm crushing it on the bike. And I remember imagining being on a beach with my kids someday, but not being present because I would always wonder, what if? And I shared that with our youth or our associate pastor, and she said, I think you need to go for it. I'm like, you're right. I need to go for this. So I was 28 years old. I knew of one pro cyclist. She lived in Hawaii, and she lived in Annapolis, Maryland during the season. In the off season, she'd come back to Hawaii. And at the time, Jim had orders to go to Japan for his next assignment. And through a crazy series of events that I can only explain as God ordained, you know, I got a virus that made me medically unfit to go with Jim to this high pollution Japan area. And so then we're like, oh no, he has to go alone. Well, then he asked if he could get switched. And where did he get orders to? The Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
Yeah. Listen to this story. So my friend Sandra had a friend named Bill. She's like, Bill knows everything there is to know about road cycling. To get your feet wet, he'd be a great guy to get to know. And so we buy our first house. We're moving in this little cul-de-sac. And here comes this guy strolling in on his bike. And I go to I'm like, hey, I'm a cyclist too. And I'm like, what's your name? He goes, my name's Bill.
No.
No stinking way. It was the Bill. yeah, so that's how, that was a really long story, but that's kind of how we got started with cycling. And within a year or two, I mean, I was putting in 21 hours a week training on my bike, and I was actually hit by 3 cars.
Oh my gosh.
2 in those first 6 months, and my grandma's like, honey, do you think Jesus is trying to tell you not to
no,
do
Mom,
this?
No, no.
And my pastor said, you know, God doesn't use fear to try and teach you a lesson. So I kept doing it, and fortunately didn't have many more car crashes
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So you went from racing, road racing, so that's a little bit longer distance. We don't love long distance. Mm-mm. We are short.
We are.
And we love the short distance. So what made you go into what you ended up training for in the Olympics, which was velodrome racing, right? So explain that, because that was new to me. I had not even heard of, I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah, so I was doing stage racing. And I mean, we're talking like
five-day races
in New England and the Tour de Tuna, where you're
this
climbing.
This is like Tour de France, but like just.
Yes.
And no.
It is. And you are literally, you're like going up these hills, and there's these pencil stick girls that are just like doot, 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 going up so fast. And and like the lactic acid is just exploding in your legs, and it's hot, and the sun's beating down, and foam's coming out of your mouth. And I'm just kidding. But yeah, I so quickly realized, like, dang, I'm not really built for this, you know, Kristen Armstrong style mountain climbing.
Yeah.
Right. And it was the criteriums. And I think it was my second or third year I did USA Criterium Nationals, which is a very prestigious event, and got second to, you know, some of the best girls in the world that have been doing this for many, many years. And but they don't have criterium racing in the Olympics. So I started to explore, like, OK, what are the sprint events that they have in the Olympics? And it was the track. And so there was a velodrome, world class, in the Lehigh Valley, 2.5 hours north of Annapolis. And I started doing some of their open, like learning how to ride a track bike. And, you know, the sport isn't incredibly deep. So it was a very quick rise to the top. But my athletic abilities exceeded my experience in bike handling skills.
Oh my God. Because it's literally a how long is the track?
It can be 250 meters to 333 meters around, and the banking can be up to like 14 or 18.
And how many
degrees.
Times are you going around?
I could be wrong. I'm a little rusty on it. As many as your event.
So
dictates.
How many seconds was your event?
So I'm kind of this hybrid. I was this weird hybrid. I didn't have enough fast twitch to be like super. Do you remember Chris Whitty? She was the Olympic speed skater, redhead, quads the size of a tree trunk.
Okay.
They recruited her to come on the track. And in the first, so this event, it was 500 meters, typically around 35 or 36 seconds.
Okay.
And in the first half lap, so mine was like 1.5 laps. In the first half lap, I had a world-class start. But then I didn't have the Beyonce backside or the legs to carry the mass to carry me through at that explosive power and that maintained high watt output, right? So somewhere between this 35-second event and this 3.5-minute event, which was actually considered more of an endurance event on the track. But when you look at like what CrossFit, what made me a pretty quick, good athlete in CrossFit was that 3.5-minute distance. You know, you look at like that power that you need, but also the endurance that you need. And they say middle distance runners, like 800-meter runners, which I was in high school, are really well suited for CrossFit as well.
Okay.
So that's kind of the just a interesting thing to notice with track cycling. You don't have brakes on your bike. And so there are no brakes, and you have to keep pedaling. So there were definitely a couple races where at the end of the race, you know, I'm so in the zone, I'm so wolf eyes that I forgot to keep pedaling. In one instance, it literally bucks you off the bike like you do an endo on your bike. And I can't even tell you how embarrassing that was.
But did you win?
I don't remember.
So you did this. So fast forward, because everyone's dying to see if you made the Olympics or not. Like, what is the next? What's the next thing? Like, what happened?
So I was, within probably doing my first track trial event and learning the track, maybe within like 2 years, I was on the national team.
Wow.
There was a gal who tested positive for drugs, so that opened up a spot for me to take her place to go to Kunming, China. for a World Cup event and compete in several different events. And that was, you know, it was super exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. And people were like, wow, you're so new to this, but you have so much talent. Yeah. You know, are you taking drugs? I'm like, no, completely against every fiber within my being. So anyway, what was the question?
What happened? Did you make the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I was trying to avoid it.
You are avoiding this.
So
everyone's like on the edge of their seat. They're like,
okay, the answer is I did not make the Olympics.
Okay, what happened?
And, you know, it's such an oversimplified story the way I explain it. But they said they had Olympic qualifiers. And if you won that qualifier, you would get to go to the World Cup. And then you'd have to earn enough points to get to the World Championships and then earn your spot to the Olympics. So what happened was I did win the Olympic qualifier. But they had a little rule that said if you didn't meet a certain time, which hadn't been met since the 1996 Olympics, then they could take whoever they wanted. So I was very naive. I wasn't prepared for that. So within a week, I had to find a lawyer and fight this in the court of arbitration. And
so even though you won the time, they picked someone else
to go. So that prevented me from trying to earn that spot to the Olympics.
Okay. Someone who'd done it a little bit longer.
Yes.
And
she had more experience. Okay. And it makes sense because USA Cycling gets their money from people who get medals on the track, right? And she did go on to get a medal at that Olympics.
Yeah.
But it didn't take away the fact that, you know, I did
what you were supposed to do.
A little cheated in that. And you know, you talk about like rocking your theology of just for so long, I think I had heard stories in college and of, you know, the size of your God determines the outcome of your life. And if you can think it, if you can dream it, it can happen or it will happen. Mm. And I'll tell you what, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to be on the podium and we were going to hear or whatever we were going to hear, the national anthem, right? Playing. And I could use that platform as a way to speak to kids, encourage kids, give glory back to God, right? Like you couldn't have told me otherwise that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And so I remember that just going through this grieving, because for me, not making the Olympics was far different than not going to the CrossFit Games. It was like the death of a dream my life and kind of rocking this theology of,
wait, you know, I did all the things I was supposed to do, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Wow. I think everything obviously in our past sets us up for our future. I mean, we know that we're old enough to know.
I'm older.
You are older. Let's make sure and record that she is older. How do you think that disappointment, I mean, now that you can look back at it, I know when you were in it, it was awful and you're probably like, wait, I was trying to do this because I wanted to bring glory and I wanted to love others more through this and serve others more and I would have a platform. How do you think that disappointment shaped you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, one of the verses I think of is, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevail, right? And so, and I have a friend who desperately wanted to make the CrossFit Games, and she was definitely capable. She had the ability. She was in a really hard region and never qualified. And I just have to think that it brought God more honor and glory that I didn't make it. You know, perhaps I would have struggled with pride holding this Olympic medal or saying, you know, and that's no doubt for sure. You could hang your banner on that any day. Yeah. I'm an Olympic athlete, right? And so I just have to trust God that his plan was best for me. Mm-hmm. And it certainly brought a new level of submission to him and trusting his plan and perhaps humility in the process as well.
Yeah. As kind of a former athlete in that world, because a lot of us don't know that world. I mean, that's intense training. That's community. I mean, you had such a great community probably because you guys were fighting for one another and helping each other. How do you think that has helped you love and serve others now in your role with, you know, the head of a nonprofit that's doing that?
Yeah, I think it made me realize that, you know, you have to hold your goals loosely. And in not being holding so tightly to those goals that you don't think of other people. Mm. Right. And so one of the things with CrossFit and even in cycling, like I think my shift came of realizing, you know, when my faith became real, mm-hmm. right. And being able to say, this is not an athlete is something that I love doing. It's truly where I find like where I'm alive.
Yeah.
You're in the zone, as you know, like
Wolf Eyes.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
We call her Wolf Eyes because when she is intense, she gets a totally different look. Like I know when we're working out and we have a WOD we're doing together, and if she has a headband on or wolf eyes, I am so screwed. Like I will get annihilated.
Unless it's burpees.
And then we're pretty.
And then you're a world champion.
And then I am world champion burpees. Thank you. But I think, I don't even know what we were saying about.
Yeah, we were just talking about how competing allowed me to do things on behalf of others and just being able to hold goals loosely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely have carried that theme into CrossFit. And I think as an athlete, especially as a professional athlete, there's a certain element where you have to be selfish. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so worried about your nutrition, your training program.
Yeah.
But I think if it gets to the point where it consumes you and you're so committed that that's your number one priority, mm. that you don't have time to hold that loosely or to recognize where someone might need a hug in the gym mm. or to talk.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's really just a, you know, moment by moment surrender, honestly. And it's this balance that only that person can know what's healthy and what's not
sure.
healthy.
Different people. Yeah. Yeah. Different. I think it's that thing we talked about just with, you know, you leading this organization, we starting our business, like we're kind of in similar, you have done it way longer, but in that similar where we're going every day, all day, and making space for noticing others. So like when we're just slammed with meetings or slammed with calls and not having that space to recognize someone in the gym because we want to get our workout in because we only have 35 minutes, you know, but maybe someone really needs you. And I think because you went through that disappointment, you have so many athletes who come through your chapters and come through FaithRx who are facing not just disappointment in not making the CrossFit games or not making something, but disappointment in life. And I just think about if you hadn't experienced that disappointment or that grief in something you believed in so wholeheartedly, if it had just worked out for you, you wouldn't be able to say, I understand.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't have that empathy.
Right.
They'd be like, yeah, thanks, but you've never had disappointment before, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that set you up for that. People trust you for doing that. As we think about FaithRx, like what are some of your dreams and goals for the future of FaithRx when it comes to just loving and serving that community?
Yeah, FaithRx really exists to unite faith and fitness. And we do this through our chapters. We have almost 80 chapters in 8 different countries. And those chapters exist to form a community where it's a safe place where people can come and experience faith, no matter what faith or fitness background you're from. But we want to be a bridge to the local church. And we know that especially with, you know, the generation of 25 to 34, that most people aren't going to church. They don't find the church welcoming or relatable, mm-hmm. but they're comfortable in their gym and they're finding community within the walls of their gym. And one of the things we do with FaithRx is we say, you know, there's not a difference between the physical and the spiritual. And the physical act can be an act of worship mm-hmm. in the gym. And so in these communities that we've built and, you know, we have spiritual resources we put out through Instagram and Facebook. We do missions trips and service trips as well as part of our mission. But my hope is that through coming to a deeper relationship with God, and perhaps for some, it's their first knowledge of God. Perhaps for others, it's forming a heart to want to mentor somebody, that people would, through these authentic relationships, that they would, number one, feel the love of Christ. And then we would put that faith in action through service. And, you know, we have an event that we call Naughty or Nice. And we had 234 gyms participate this last year that gave over 3,500 presents to kids wow. in need. And that's awesome to come into a gym and lift on behalf of others.
Right.
Right. To do something you love that's going to benefit somebody else. And I think that's what's so powerful about FaithRx. You're combining these two passions. And for some, faith is an unknown passion, but perhaps it becomes a passion.
Yeah.
Right. And then to put that faith in action through service is so exciting. And we have a goal this year to give 6,500 hours of service through our chapter ministry. And so ask that these chapters do a quarterly service project as a chapter.
That's awesome. So, and we know, obviously, that it's all connected. So mind, body, spirit, I mean, it's all connected for a reason. When we're taking care of one, the other one, we get disciplined in the other. And when we're disciplined in one, you know, it breeds to the other. And I think it's so huge what you're doing. For those who might be listening who are like, whoa, I love that. I've never heard of FaithRx. I'd love to be a part of that. How can they find you? How can they get in touch?
Yeah, on our website, it's faithrxd.org. And then on Instagram, we're at faithrxd.
And do you have, like, obviously I live in Colorado. If I wanted to be a part of FaithRx, what would that look like for me? Like, what do I do?
FaithRx Denver chapter meets twice a month.
Awesome.
And we're on Facebook for every chapter. So you can go to our chapter map on our website, find out if there's a chapter near you. And then if there is, you can ask to join, be a part of the Facebook group.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. Question I ask everybody, because with Be Love, it's just helping others, inspiring others to action of how to love others. You don't have to start an organization. You don't have to start a company, but it literally is just simple acts of kindness and love that make an impact in one's life. And so I always ask, you know, what is a simple act of kindness or love someone did for you, Becky, that made a lasting impact?
Yeah, I had a gal in college that we were part of an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ, and it's very strong discipleship model. And she actually would pick me up in front of Tappan Hall at Miami University every Monday or Tuesday morning at, I think it was 7 a.m. I remember it being dark at times and the mist coming off the street. And we would go out to coffee or breakfast, and she just listened. And she was just there to listen, but also to teach me some of the truths in the Bible. And that's when I, you know, really started to grow in my faith, truly understand how much the Lord loved me. And that in me built a passion to want to do that for others.
Yeah. And you do that. I mean, that's what I think your heart is for, is mentoring others. Yeah.
Yeah. It's big. You know, this is a season in my life where it's very busy with two kids and running an organization. And so there have been times where I'm like, am I going to mentor certain women in my life? And I just, it's such a core value of mine that I will make time to do it, even though there are days where I don't feel like I have time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you do. Well, before you leave, one of my favorite things that I get to do with my guests at the end is just let them know that what they do is pretty awesome. Like, you have had an incredible career. I mean, you are Wolf Ice. You are Wolf Ice.
With a tear in them
right
now.
We always are like, Becky, you are our Olympian. But like, you've done awesome things, but I know that you know your identity is not in that. And even if you didn't do any of that stuff, who you are is just so special. And, you know, for me, just getting to know you, and you bring an intensity that is beautiful, but at the same time, you have an intensity not just for sports, you have an intensity for people. And I think your love for people outmatches anything that you've done in the gym, anything that you've done on the track. I mean, it flows into what you do so beautifully. And I get to see that every day because I'm in your life every day. And the cool thing is we get to go back and forth on business plans and models. And I just get to see you live out your dream for people. And that is the coolest thing to see and to celebrate you. I love that. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world. I just got some quotes from people who love you and know you. And they said, Becky has such a beautiful, open heart. She is so encouraging, and being around her makes me think that I can do anything. Another one said, she's incredibly passionate in all that she does. She loves fiercely, leads with grace, and is an intense competitor. But knowing her has made me a better believer, mother, wife, and friend. And that is what you do for people. You're contagious. What you hold dear to you rubs off on everyone around you. So you are in the right place. You're doing what you should be doing. And I love that I get to journey it with you. So thanks for being on, fam. Thank you.
Yes.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Peace out. Hey, thanks for hanging out with our family today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We wish we could just hug each and every one of you and let you know what a difference you can make in this world. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, left a review if it inspired you, or shared with a friend, because we know word of mouth is actually what matters. And don't forget to share your stories at Be Strong Story on our social media of how you lived out the message of
be strong, protect the weak, love everyone.
Because we believe with our whole hearts that every person can make a difference and inspire another. See you next week.